Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to just take them with me, if you would, this morning, and turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And I want to read this passage of Scripture that talks about the birth of Jesus, according to Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, how it came about. But I want to just mention before we do that, it's good to have, I look around and I see some faces we haven't seen in a while. But beyond that, there is, I know, one new person here today. And, you know, she came all the way from Cambodia to be here. And this is Ryan's friend from college, and they attend the same college. They're both in the first year. And so I just make sure to greet her afterwards. If you haven't, just say hello. And she is an engineering student in college, and happy to have her today. But it's good to see everybody here in the house of the Lord today. But I want you to just follow along with me, and I'm just going to share a thought with this and another verse of Scripture in other places. But I want to read this for us to see. The Bible says this: in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The Bible says this, and it says this in verse 17 of this passage. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, what had been told about this child. When they had seen him, I want to ask you this question. How do we honor Jesus on Christmas Day? How do we honor him, not just this Christmas, and not just Christmas, but every day? How are we to honor him? We know that this is the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But how are we to really honor Jesus? What are we supposed to do? I kind of chuckle a little bit, and I don't know. I know that there are others who, Christians, believers, who get sort of indignant about seeing an abbreviated form of the word Christmas. And I see it a lot now, of course, with Facebook. You see anything and everything, and probably spend way too much looking at stuff like that. But of course, there's always that thread that comes through where, especially this time of the year, let's keep Christ in Christmas. I agree. If we take Jesus out of Christmas, we really don't have a point to celebrate Christmas. But even when it comes to, and somebody said, well, we shouldn't abbreviate the form. You ever hear it, see it, Merry Xmas? You know, right? They put the X. Somebody recently pointed out that the first letter in the name Christ in the original Greek that the New Testament was written in, the first letter of Christ is what we would view as an X. So they said, no, we're not taking Christ out of Christmas. There are others who, when they're wished a happy holidays, the generic, politically correct kind of way, because we live in a country where there are many religions and there are people who don't celebrate Christmas. They celebrate another holiday at this time of the year, when some of our Jewish friends celebrate Hanukkah or whatever the case might be. And so as not to seek an offense, but, you get wished a happy holidays and all of a sudden there are those who get a little, fired up. It's, and almost in a self-righteous tone, it's Merry Christmas to me. And I think, does that really honor Jesus? If I were to get indignant over somebody wishing me a happy holidays as opposed to Merry Christmas, does it show Christ for me to get all bent out of shape that somebody didn't say my holiday, Christmas, and that they didn't mention the name of Jesus in some form or some fashion? And I thought about that. I began to think, how do I really honor him? Do I really honor him by posting on my Facebook and, making it all about Jesus? Or do I honor him with, something that I put out there and just to make sure that everybody knows at the moment that I'm a believer? Am I to do that on this one day? Or am I to do what we find in Scripture here on a daily basis? Am I to do what the Bible shows us that we are to do? And the first thing, and it always starts with this, you need to recognize, you might be sitting here today, maybe you are, in fact, somebody who does not follow Christianity. Maybe you believe in Jesus, but you haven't come to that place where you have given your all to him. And you've said, Jesus, I will follow you with all of my heart. Because you know what? When it all comes down to it, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about a religion. It's not about somehow following a system. It is having a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 2, it says, when they had seen him. It always starts with seeing him. Say, but I can't see him today the way that they saw him. No, you can't. But that is why we as believers are to lift up the name of Jesus, not just at Christmas time when somehow we begin to get a little indignant that he is sort of left out and shoved to the back, or maybe he is abbreviated or some other fashion. I'm talking about on a daily basis, on an everyday basis, that we lift up Jesus. What did Jesus say to his disciple, to Nicodemus, that night that he was speaking to this religious man who felt an emptiness in his spirit and an emptiness in his heart? He said to Nicodemus, he said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You know what? The world doesn't care what my political beliefs are. The world doesn't need to know what my ideas of how to fix this country might actually come out. The world does not really care about that. What the world really needs is that I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, not just on Christmas Day, but on every other day, lift him up so that they can see him. The Bible talks about in another place in the New Testament, a group of people who came from another nation, another country. And the Bible says that when they got there, they had a specific request. Their request was simple, and it was this: we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And I wonder if that's not the cry of the world, not only today, but every day, that they want to see Jesus. But somehow we get more political about it. We get more self-righteous about it. We get a little indignant about it. Brothers and sisters, Jesus approached people with love. He approached them because he wanted to bring peace into the world. He didn't want to bring contention. He came to bring peace. That's what the angels sang about, that it is peace on earth on whom his favor rests. You need to know that his favor, his grace, his favor has rested upon us. It is the grace of God that saves us. It is the grace and the mercy of God that allows us to see Jesus. On a day where it's all about the music, it's all about the lights, it's all about the gifts and the presents, today we want to see Jesus. It is vitally important for you to see Jesus. I'm not talking about physically, but spiritually, that you would open up your heart and say, Lord, I want to see what it is that you have done for me. I want to see how it is that you have come to this earth and why you came to this earth. We read the passage earlier in Matthew chapter 1, where it talks about the fact that you would call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is why he came. You know, when you say, well, please don't talk about sin, it's Christmas. But sin is all part of it. Sin is the reason he showed up. Sin is the reason he came into the world. My wife said it yesterday. What a miracle that God would send Jesus as a baby to grow up and to be nurtured in the house, in the home of Joseph and Mary for a number of years as a child, that he didn't just somehow all of a sudden appear in the desert somewhere, but he would come through the normal channels of birth, and he would come into the world and become a baby first. That vision of helplessness, that vision of humility and weakness, and yet somehow in all of that rise to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to see that Jesus. In order for the world to see him, we got to lift him up. We got to uphold him. Listen to what the Bible says after they had seen him. Listen to what the Bible says about the shepherds. The Bible says the shepherds returned. Here's what they did. Glorifying, verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They returned praising and glorifying God. You know that when you come into this church, you hear praise and worship that is more vocal, that is more open, that is loud, that is, you know, it's one of those things where you might wonder, why in the world do we do it? And yet the Bible says here that when the shepherds returned from seeing Jesus, now Jesus hadn't died on the cross. Jesus hadn't come to the place where he was big enough and old enough to accomplish what it was that he came into the world to accomplish. And yet the Bible lets us know that when they left him, they began to praise God and glorify God. You see, we're living after the fact now. We can look back on what Jesus did on the cross. We can see that he came to this earth to give his life, to die for mankind. Brothers and sisters, that is reason for you and I to praise God. That is reason for us on a daily basis, on a regular basis, to give him glory and to give him thanks, and to praise him and to worship him. Well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to worship him? I can think of a number of ways, not only beyond the idea of praising him vocally and lifting our voices to heaven. When we come together to worship, when we come together to be together in the house of God. But that is another thing, that we come together, that we don't make excuses to stay away from the house of God. The Bible tells us that we are to come together to worship the Lord. You know, church is so much better when you're here. Did you know that? It's so much better when you're here. You say, but what about those who aren't here? It's better when they're here too. But it's better when you're here. You're here, so let me just say, it's always better when you are here. whoever you might be, whatever position you might hold in life, whatever the situation might be, it is always better when you're here, because when you're here, you can add to the praise and the worship that he is worthy to receive. When you are here, he can speak to your heart. He can minister to your life. He can change your life the way that only Jesus can. I can't change your life. I can't do anything for you, really. I'm as human as you are. But there is a God in heaven who can come, and whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty you have, he can help you and he can strengthen you. He can minister to you. But it starts by us coming together. So I wonder if maybe in the new year we would decide, not resolve, we break resolutions all the time, but just decide with the help of the Lord, you're going to come to the house of the Lord. The Bible says that we should not give up gathering together as we, the more we see that great day approaching, there is a day that is coming where he's going to return. The more that we see that happening, the more we see things in the world so in turmoil and upending, the more we need one another, the more we need to come together, the more we need to be in the house of God and be in the presence of God. Listen, don't forget Jesus. A little bit later on in the New Testament, Luke records how Mary and Joseph, they were, after Jesus had been, he was 12 years old, they had been in Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he was conversing. He had kind of gone off by himself, and he ended up in the temple conversing with the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, who sat there absolutely stunned that this 12-year-old could and had such knowledge already of the things of God and the law and all that is written in the scriptures. And they're on their way back to Nazareth, and they're on their way thinking Jesus is with some other people, and then all of a sudden it's discovered Jesus is gone. There's something in that they forgot Jesus. And so often we come to a time in our lives where we forget Jesus. We forget how important and how vital he is to our lives. I want you to see what the wise men did. Turn over in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And the Bible says this about them in verse 11. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. I want you to notice what they did. On coming to the house, they saw the child. Notice how important it is for us to see Jesus. They saw the child with his mother, Mary. Now notice what these three wise men did. They bowed down and worshiped him. They bowed down and they worshiped him. They gave of their all. We're going to get to that in a second. But at that moment, the very first thing they did was they gave their hearts. You see, when you worship, you're giving your heart. Yes, God does want other things from us. God wants us to be givers, but he can't ever get anything else from us unless we first give him our heart. We've got to give him our heart. They bowed down and they worshiped him. And in that moment, I believe that those men were changed by that experience. You can be changed by the experience of coming into his presence and bowing and worshiping and honoring him with your whole heart. Brothers and sisters, your whole heart is what he needs, what he demands, what he deserves. He doesn't deserve half a heart, half an idea of let me just go to church every now and then. He deserves our giving of our best. He deserves your whole heart. I believe with everything that is within me, those who have changed the world for Jesus Christ are individuals who gave their whole heart. You look all through Scripture, and you look through those that we would call the heroes of the faith. They are men and women who gave their whole heart. Those who just somehow gave half We don't read so much about them. We don't hear so much about them. We might see the tragedy of their lives and look back on it and learn an important lesson from them, but we learn the lesson of faith from those individuals who said, I'm going to give my all to Jesus. I'm going to give my whole heart to him so that I can be a blessing to the world. Remember what happened to the shepherds. The Bible says that they went out and they were glorifying and they were praising God. But you know what else they did? They went around and they began to tell everybody what they heard and what they saw. You see, when Jesus changes your heart, when that experience of worship changes your life and you give your all to him, you can't help but come and begin to share it with somebody else of what it is that Jesus has done for you. Brothers and sisters, he has done so much for each and every one of us. He has done so much. So how did the wise men honor him? Not only did they worship, but they gave. They gave what they had. The Bible says this, then they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold, and of incense, and of myrrh. They gave their best to Jesus. Not only did they give their hearts in worship, but they worshiped through giving. They worship by giving to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I believe that we cannot really receive from God until we open our hand to give. You see, it's when you open your hand to give what you have, you give that to the Lord, it is then that God can put something back in your hand. If you close your fist and say, no, God, I got to hang on to this. I'm holding on to it. He can't put anything in there. It's only when we open the hand. They opened their treasures. They opened their hand to give to Jesus as they worshiped him, this baby who is now sitting in the house with his mother. And they're there, and these men just appear, and they see this little boy. There's nothing, remember, there's nothing about Jesus that would indicate Jesus is the King of Kings. There's nothing that indicates that he is the Savior of the world. And yet, immediately, they bowed and they worshiped. I often wonder what happened in their hearts as they bowed and worshiped. But I believe in that moment where they recognized this was where God was leading, this was where the star landed, this is of great significance. They not only gave their hearts, but they gave of their substance. Do you know that most scholars, Bible scholars, believe that it is those gifts that funded Mary and Joseph being in Egypt during the time that they were there. That is what sustained them. That's what helped them to make a living or to have a living so that then they could be sustained, they could be taken care of, and then by the time they had to leave, maybe the money was running out, maybe the things were running out, and then they were able to make their way back to Galilee and there live their lives. But brothers and sisters, God's great plan for each and every one of us is for us to honor him. Honor him with our whole heart. When he has your whole heart, he has everything. He's got everything. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today. It might be that you came into this building today expecting, I'm not sure what you might have been expecting, but maybe you were expecting something a little different of a Christmas service. But for us, it is simply a day of worship. For us, it is simply a day where we just want to honor God with our whole heart and give of our best to him. I appreciate all of you who have come here today. Appreciate all the kids. The kids who, you know, they've fought through the whole gifts, and those who've opened, they want to be back with the stuff that they got. And yet, parents, thank you. Because I believe it's important for us to take time to say, Jesus, you're the reason. You're the reason for this whole thing. You, it's all about you, Jesus. When we give of our best and we give of our time, we can take an hour to say, Lord, I'm going to honor you with my whole heart. I'm going to honor you with everything that is within me. And I wonder if before we close this service today, before we leave this meeting today, I wonder if we could just do that. I wonder if we could just stand to our feet right now. And if in your own way, praise God. You say, but I'm not a believer. I don't follow Jesus. Well, right now would be a perfect time. An absolutely perfect time for you as others around you are just praising and worshiping out of a pure heart, out of a heart that's been forgiven, right now would be the perfect time for you to just close your eyes and ask Jesus to come into your heart and into your life. Now is the perfect time for you to say, Jesus, come into my heart. And as the musicians come and they just play that song, Silent Night, once again, I wonder if those who are here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Right now, as others around you are giving their best to you, to the Lord, you give your best by giving him your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Change me. Forgive me of my sins. You came into the world to forgive sins. So, Lord, I'm asking you to do that. And right now, by faith, I reach out and take hold of your forgiveness. Let's just honor him right now, right where you're at. Say, I'm going to give my best to you, Lord. Heavenly Father, today, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you administer your strength to your people. Lord, today we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to worship you, to honor you, O God. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus today that we would give our best to you. Lord, you gave your all to us when you came into this world, born of a virgin. Lord, you did many mighty miracles. And yet, Lord, the whole purpose was for you to go to the cross and then to rise again, Lord. I thank you for your life. I thank you for how you gave your all to each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this building who may not know you. Maybe they've never made a confession of faith. But God, I pray that today, right now, that they would pray, that they would give their all to you, and they would ask Jesus to come into their heart and into their lives. And that, Lord, from this day forward, they would live for you with everything that is within them, oh God. Lord, we want to give our whole hearts. Lord, for those who have confessed your name, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. But God, I pray that you would help us to give more to you. Help us to give of our time, give of our efforts, give of our strength, because Jesus, you came all the way from glory to be with us, to be God with us. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Dear Jesus, I thank you from the bottom of my heart today for coming to this earth to die and dying on the cross for our sins. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit ourselves to giving to you anew and afresh. Lord, we love you. Oh, we honor you today, oh God. Lord, we give you the praise in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. Glory to your name, oh God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Let's just worship the Lord. Just worship him.